Welcome to FMLUs. I'm Milan.
It's Walsh.
In this episode, we'll go over what the fuck is happening, pick captains cleans for each day of the first game week, and finally cover any last tinkerings and all that shit that we anticipate, you know?
Yeah, where do you want to start?
I want to start with an opening question. So with all these international tournaments, Copa, Euros, etc., do you have a favorite national anthem?
Oh, fuck. There was one European, not Austria, but one of the, maybe it was Austria, where it's just like pomp, it's just fully pomp, like band style.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's just such a banger. It's like a marching band banger.
Oh, shit, I need to check that out after that.
I think it's something like Austria or like a Central European country like that.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Russian anthem because it's kind of a march too. Mm-hmm. It's just like so epic and so intense and like just really gets me riled up. And then I got to shout out the French anthem too, because it's kind of normal and whatever on the surface. But if you look up the actual translated lyrics, it's like written by the revolutionaries. It's so intense. It's just about like slitting throats and taking the power back, basically. It's really good.
I like that. Just taking names.
Yeah, it's just like we're going to like... blood is gonna rain from the sky as we like march in and slit throats and like go nuts.
Monarchists, like, take notice.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go. Wow, we have like less than a week till Euros.
Yeah, I mean, it's Sunday, so some teams still have one more friendly, so we're still missing that final piece of the puzzle for information. But I mean we've come a long way since the last pod with restructuring our money and our tinkering. I think we're probably in the pretty final stages, right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe we should bring up the team where it is now, then do a sponsor, and then just like go nuts.
Okay.
So the team from back to front, we have Almer and Kozacic. Am I pronouncing it?
Probably Kozacic. I don't know if that K is like a hard K at the
end.
Yeah,
I always feel like K's are hard and C's are... Chiches?
Kozacic? I don't know.
I don't know, but he's the Slovakian keeper in Almers, yeah. I mean, Austria.
Slovakia's just been so good recently, and they have Wales and Russia in their group. And
yeah, Wales most importantly, honestly.
Yeah, and he plays before Almer every single game week, which is great, so we get the kind of free game before someone who we expect to keep the clean sheet.
Right, so yeah, Almer with the good matchups, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a good pairing, I think, for us to not spend 10. Spending 9.5 is nice.
Yeah, I agree. Defenders, we have Hector on Germany, Schär on Switzerland, Juanfran on Spain, Benucci on Italy, and Rami right now on France. But we'll get to France later, but it'll be Rami or Mangala, and we'll get the information we need beforehand to pick a starter. So a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, Hector's the only one I think that stayed from our last draft. I think all other ones.
Benucci, right?
Benucci too, maybe. Yeah,
Benucci, yeah.
But yeah, like Juanfran, I'm a little bit not too sure about, just because it doesn't seem like he's one of Del Bosque's faves. And
yeah,
I mean, he is definitely the best right back on their team, but they have three games quick. I don't know. I just worry that he's going to miss like one of them.
Yeah, which would be a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be really annoying to spend 5-5 on a defender who doesn't play all three games. But
it sucks that their center backs are 6.5. It just makes it like that extra leap to get there. You know, like if one of them was 6, we could get there
easily.
Yeah.
But yeah, 6-5 is a step too far. So
yeah,
if Juanfran starts their next friendly, I think we'll probably go with him and hope that he just plays, because Spain just seemed like they're going to walk the group. So having a defender from them a defender from them seems great.
Yeah. Mid, we have, let's see, we have a bunch of the same guys in midfield. We have Perisic, Fabregas, and then Hamsik. Hamsik wasn't on the team. Junosevic on Austria also. And then Zielinski is like our cheapest guy on the whole team. He's our like punt, basically.
Yeah, I mean, we still have the same kind of like 7 million ish all around the board, sort of. But Hamsik we added, I think, just because we needed a captaincy option for that day. We don't have anyone the second day of the first game week, and we like him.
And Çalhanoğlu, or I can't fucking say it, dude.
No, you did it.
I did it?
Yeah, Çalhanoğlu. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just like, he has Spain in the second match. It's just bad matchups.
And Croatia, they're
yeah, and Croatia too. So we just went Hamšík over him. Similar style, honestly, but.
Yeah, and then Janusovic or whatever.
Yeah, I really like him. I'm really growing into him, yeah.
Yeah, he's just a little cheaper than Alaba, and he plays a little more far forward, so less chance of an own goal. but yeah, he seems good. I think he could be fun.
Yeah, he's really hyped. He's producing. He's number 10. I like it. Yeah. Zielinski will have to monitor more because he's, I guess, not nailed. He didn't play that much in qualifying, but he's been playing the important friendlies, and he kind of just had his breakout year, and he's young, but I don't know. We'll get further into that. But and then forwards, really heavy hitting, as we like to do, with Zlatan, Müller, and Giroud.
Yeah, Zlatan was kind of the big shaker and mover from our last draft.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he was like the topic of the last pod, I feel like.
Yeah, so he kept coming back.
We just got so excited, yeah.
It's just like, the group is not good, obviously, but he's so good. And Sweden seemed like they kind of are a decent outfit, but they have that day for all the weeks, unless if you have like De Bruyne, who I'm just not that in love with, and I think is a big step below Zlatan.
Yeah.
In terms of quality, I just feel like Zlatan is like a differential, and he could come in huge. So he's kind of fun. He's not in any teams that I'm seeing on FFS, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, he is a huge differential.
Yeah, huge. I mean, like, rightfully so, because the group is terrible and he's so fucking expensive.
Yeah, he's like below like Morata. He's well below every other top tier guy, like Ronaldo, Lewandowski, Müller, Griezmann, even below Bale, even on Wales. Like, how could you possibly have Bale over Zlatan for 0.5? Just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think Zlatan's just the clinical nature.
I love Bale. Like, don't get me wrong, but Zlatan scored 30 more goals than him this year and every year. Like, actual 30.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all their kind of thing is that he gets Ireland first, and then maybe they shit the bed game week two, and we could get rid of him if it looks like Sweden's not doing
but we
it.
We want him versus Ireland. It's like John O'Shea and Darren Randolph.
Yeah, he could light it up. They could really smoke them. So I think it's a fun differential to have Zlatan. And then if the captaincy even rolls down to him, we'll see, because we're going to have it on Giroud and Hamšík and Müller beforehand. So it might not even get to him, but it still feels good. And I like him more than Ronaldo, I think. For a million less, like,
yeah, me too. I mean, it was everything we talked about last pod. Like, Ronaldo, if you take away the goals against the worst teams in qualifying, he really didn't do shit. Portugal just don't seem good. They seem really defensive and countering, and Ronaldo has to play out of position for them, and he's more expensive.
The only thing in Ronaldo's head is that group is 1,000 times easier. So.
Yeah, it's way worse.
I don't know. It could go either way for sure, but I don't know. Zlatan feels fun right now.
Well,
so
what's
I think
weird about the group, though, is that, like, I mean, I guess Hungary is the worst team in the Portugal group, but I'd rather play Ireland if I'm, like, fielding a striker, just because they're a mess at the back and they attack. They actually attack versus, like, some shit team like Hungary is going to just park the bus.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I could just see a higher scoring game is what I'm saying, and in an Ireland game than a Hungary game.
I agree.
But anyway, let's do a sponsor and then just really fucking dig into everything.
Okay. Got tickets for some of the Euro games in France? Good for you. But are you the nervous and worried type who can't stop thinking about the latest terrorist attacks at the Stade de France? Don't worry. The French on-field and off-field little technician, Johan Cabaye, has got your back. Johan Cabaye's bomb diffuser kit is small, compact, and comes with simple step-by-step instructions of what to do if you happen to find yourself in close quarters with a little bomb. Be a hero, feel safe, and don't go to the game without it. Johan Cabaye's bomb diffuser kit, because what's more important than your life?
What even is that? What is Johan Cabaye's diffuser kit? I don't even understand, but I love it.
Because he's just a little genius, and I think that's funny.
He just unlocks a team.
Yeah, he's a technician.
And you love him.
and I love him.
He's a palace boy. That's great. That's good stuff. All right, where should we start? Let's start with, because I teased the listeners with the Rami versus Mangala thing. So that was a point that you brought up in text, which was just basically the deadline for the week happens when the France game is starting, not like hours before the France game. So we'll actually have the lineups finalized before the match starts. So we'll just swap in Mangala if Mangala's starting or keep Rami if Rami's starting. That's it.
Yeah, it's like it's the same thing for the first game of every day, but especially the first game of the match week because you can still make transfers. So
that's France, the most important, yeah.
Yeah, so France playing first, we'll be able to still make transfers to our team before we have to submit it before the France-Romania game. The same thing happens on game week 3. France is the first game, so we'll get France's lineup still able to make transfers beforehand. So game week 2 is the only one with France that we won't have their full team. So that's just, if the center back's playing game week 1, I think we'll just have to roll the dice and hope that whichever one plays game week 1 plays game week 2, and then yeah. If not, in the third, we could just transfer them out.
Exactly. So that's a really great little point that you brought up there that honestly, everyone should exploit because you're guaranteeing with 100% certainty that you're going to get a starter in the France defense because we'll know the lineup.
You really just have to be on your computer like an hour before the game.
Yeah, an hour, 45 minutes before and make the change and you're back at work.
But I was just looking at it also and thinking about like punts and shit. And we were talking about Guerrero or whatever, that left back for Portugal. The 4.0.
Yeah.
But that's like, they play second, so you're not going to be able to see their team sheet before you have to lock your lineup in. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you take your punt on that last day, like the last game,
oh, God,
and then he doesn't play, like it makes it like the worst thing ever.
It's you'll still get an auto sub, though, right?
No.
Are you sure now?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Oh, wow. I thought still if like someone played 0 minutes, you'd still get an auto.
No, if you sub someone out,
they're permanently dead. I see. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think there are auto subs at all, actually.
No, there are auto subs.
Because
I remember when reading the rules initially, but that makes sense that a manual sub would like override it.
Yeah,
like if you don't touch your team at all and a starter plays 0 minutes and someone on your bench played, it'll auto sub in the same way as FPL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that should be completely irrelevant with the manual subbing format. So
yeah, it should be. But
that's a good shout. Like picking punts from the first team that play on a specific game day is actually really important.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like we're talking about what players we have and when they play is having your shitty guys playing earlier is so much better because then you're not going to get stuck with them at the end. Like if you're using your last two or three players that you're subbing in and those are your punts, like we had like João Mário on our team for a little bit.
Yeah.
You're stuck with that player, whatever they do, if you're going to commit to putting them in your lineup. So it's, if you have low confidence in your punt coming off and they're like your last player, then it's higher risk.
But tell me why that matters, though, because say we did have João Mário, so our better players are playing before him. If they score or do anything, we'll just keep our better players in. And if they don't, then whatever, we'll sub. If they play.
You would. Why
does it matter?
But you want more bites of the apple to be able to sub out, like to layer it more so that you have higher sample of players playing. That you can take out versus having to put like three in at a time at the last day and then you have to just be stuck with those three players.
Right, if you have three Austria and two Portugal or something, you're changing your whole team. Yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
And the way that you could just gradually have players playing each day is you'll just have maybe like the players you spent more money on, you'll see what they do and you won't have to take a leap of faith and sub out someone who has like 3 or 4 points. Like, what if you're faced with the last day and you have Alaba and Ronaldo and like a defender and you have one blank in your team? Like, what are you going to do? Or if you have two blanks in your team,
sucks. Yeah.
If you layer it and you have less players on the last day, like you would be like piecemeal making those. So you'd think that the blanks would happen gradually or maybe like not all on the same day. So I think it's just better to be able to.
It's better to have in general, I guess, just more players earlier.
Yeah.
Just in general. Yeah.
Because if the quicker you have, you know, 9 or so scores up on the board, you just can make more informed decisions based on, like, okay, you have four guys left. Like, these are your good guys left. These are your bad guys left. Like, it just is easier to plan, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I like it might that. Be, like, too intense of a viewpoint.
It's a little bit too intense. Like, I wouldn't go, like, to the second week and third week and try and plan all that and stuff. But for your first draft of the first week, I think it's pretty relevant to, A, well, it's idiotic to not pay attention to the France lineup before you submit your final team. And then, B, I think it's at least relevant enough to maybe not stack on someone like Portugal, you know, when they play on the last day and you probably already have, like, two Austrian players. So, yeah. You know, like, that makes sense, just to that simple level, not too deep.
Yeah, that's basically all I'm trying to get at,
I think. Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. Yeah, as far as, like, punts go, or, yeah, I guess we're calling it a punt spot, is all last pod we were saying how 15-man squads are way more important than, like, your starting 11, and that's 100% fact. That's totally true. But the way that we've kind of evolved and structured our squad is having, like, the most money in our forwards because they score the most points and are the best captaincy options. And then throughout our mid and defense, we've kind of spread a lot of the money pretty evenly. And what we came to realize, because there was one point in our draft where we had five really good midfielders.
Yeah, they were, like, all six or higher.
Yeah, they were all, like, captainable, like, really good, like, scoring midfielders. And our defense was just so weak. We just had, like, 4.5s, like, questionable, maybe playing, like, not nailed, like, kind of punts and stuff like that. And what we came to realize is that just the value you get for defenders is just so much higher than any other position. So being able to get four good midfielders that you're into and five good defenders, all that you have to sacrifice is that one fifth midfield spot. So we have someone who we think is nailed, and there's a slight chance that he might score. You know, he's not the best player. He's only 5 million. But being able to just kind of punt on that one midfielder spot was all we needed to make our defense, like, all 5.5s pretty much, and just be, like, really good and really nailed. So
yeah, I mean, it's like you said when we were just playing with structures. If you drop your fifth midfielder down to a 5 or a 5.5 guy, you basically free up an extra 1.5 or so mil, and then the last two defenders that you have, maybe before they were, like, 4 or 5s, you can upgrade them to 5 and 5.5s. It just makes such a big difference. Because
it's just, like, an insane difference, yeah.
Yeah, because with the subbing, you're still going to have three players on your bench at the end of the game week, and having five good defenders and having that fifth midfielder be, like you said, more of a punt, maybe they'll get something lucky. But if that's your sunk cost spot on your roster, your fifth midfielder, it's probably the safest bet, because the clean sheet shouts are easier to see than who's going to score points in midfield, because it's so much more of a minefield.
Yeah, and just the value, like I just said. But what I mean by value is, like, if you think about the kind of tiers where each position has, like, the likely best players to score, like, for mids, it's like, 7 and up, maybe 7.5 and up is, like, all of the good mids. And for strikers, it's like 8 or 8.5 and up are, like, all the best strikers. But for defenders, it's like 5 and up. So, like, to your point, again, like, you just drop that last midfield spot and you're able to get every one of your defenders above that, like, 5.0 threshold. That just means you have, like, five really good options in defense where you'll be subbing. Really high chance of three clean sheets in the back, which is amazing. And then you're only sacrificing one player.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the other thing to that point is that we were pretty committed to having Zlatan and Mueller, and, like, our forward line is so expensive.
Yeah.
So
you could that's the other option. Yeah.
Yeah. You could all, like, even if we didn't have Zlatan, like, if we had Kane instead of him, then we could afford a good fifth midfielder and still a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
the other option. That's a great point to bring up, because we made the decision that we want a huge forward line. Mm-hmm. And like I said at the beginning, like, they're always the best captaincy options. And I think midfield not getting bonus, like, no bonus existing in the game, really diminishes midfield. And It just makes forwards that much better to me. And yeah, I just want them. They score the most goals. They're the best players. So I don't know. And we were able to find really good value in like the 7 to 7.5 range. So it just felt like the right way to structure for us. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like if someone goes Kane or like Morata or even like Janko or something instead of Zlatan, then they're good. But I don't know. A lot of people are going budget on the third forward, and I just don't like any of the teams when I look at them. It's always like, yeah, this team's really good, but you have Kyle Lafferty or you have fucking Dick Fuck, you know? And I just want, that's always the spot that like sticks out when I'm looking at Rate My Teams and people tweet at me and shit. Is just like, it's really good, except you're captaining, as you said, you're captaining De Bruyne or you're captaining like fucking, I don't know, some other Ozil, and I'm captaining Zlatan. You know, it's just like, to me, it's just not close.
Yeah, but that is the midfield is really the most, I think, trickiest thing with
teams. Cause by far.
You could just have like KDB, Ozil, like Alaba, a 7, and like a 7.5, and think that you're going to get loads of points in midfield, and you might. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think there are some pretty decent, like if you go Mueller, and then an 8.5, and then an 8 or something, I think you could still have a really good midfield, a good all-rounded team with that structure. But, I think it's just the captaincy shouts. Is if you feel good with your captaincy shouts, you really like De Bruyne, or you're bullish on Belgium doing well, then, you know, I don't know. I could see both sides of the coin.
Yeah, I see both sides, and maybe we'll get proven wrong, but that's just how I feel most comfortable building the team, with, especially with the ability to move the captaincy armband. It just seems like we're getting 3 chances at the highest score between like Zlatan, Müller, and Giroud, and our midfielders, but those guys just have much higher ceilings than the midfield players, and the captaincy, I think, will be huge. So,
yeah, totally. Especially because, you know, thinking of when you want a brace from your captaincy, the chances are it's going to be a forward, not a midfielder, doing that business for you.
You want a brace, and then you also want the ability to have more than a brace. And that's that even lowers the amount of players by even further. You know, it's like Zlatan and Müller. Like, probably not even Giroud, unless he's playing Villa.
No, Giroud's not ever doing that. But yeah, well, I mean,
he plays Villa though twice a year. Well, not anymore. But.
Well, yeah, he plays Romania and Albania. It's the same shit.
Yeah, so maybe.
Maybe. Let's talk about defense for a little, because I was thinking about just the way we have our defense, and we kind of tried to cover ourselves from the most elite defensive teams that we feel are out there with the safest and cheapest option versus maybe making compromises elsewhere for funds and getting the more expensive attacking options.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the thing, like we have Schär instead of Rodriguez on Switzerland, or we have Juan Fran instead of Alba for Spain, or we have Rami instead of a 6.0 France defender. But it just seems like in a 3-game sample, it just makes more sense to try and just cover yourself with a clean sheet and not chase the extra funds or the extra attacking sexiness, because it just seems like it's not likely to come off in 3 games.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And really what it comes down to is, like, for the millionth time, spreading the funds and having the big squad. You know, like, obviously if there were 2 guys evenly priced, and or we could afford both, and one was like on set pieces and an attacking fullback and the other was a center back, we would choose the attacking fullback. In most cases, especially on the best teams, there's a huge price difference in the attacking fullback or the set piece guy or whatever. So yeah, we're just relying on clean sheets and the better teams. Like, we have France and Spain and Germany and Switzerland, etc. Like, if you have like Poland, then you can afford an attacking fullback, but we'd rather have the German defender, for example, you know?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I like our defense.
I really like our defense. It took a long time. I really like this team in general. I mean, there's Juan Fran and there's Zielinski. I feel like those are like the main 2 things we'll be paying attention to. And otherwise, like, I don't really see any other changes.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, we haven't touched the forward since the day after the last pod when we put them in.
When we put Zlatan in. Yeah. And Giroud.
We didn't have Giroud last time.
Mueller was, yeah, we didn't have Giroud. We had Griezmann. Yeah. Mueller, like, someone tweeted at me today, like, is Lewandowski essential? And I just wrote back, like, absolutely not. Well, first of all, there's pretty much no one essential. But then I explained to him that Mueller is on the same day, on the better team. So you're only going to captain Mueller probably of the two. And then Mueller has the pedigree. And then I realized, because I was just talking to this guy, that he's coming off the best scoring season he's ever had. And I'm just like, this is the guy who, like, regularly, like, golden or silver boots, and he's also coming off the best season, goal scoring season he's ever had. Like, what the fuck? Like, he's so nailed. He's so fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, he was the first name I think we put in, and we haven't even talked about
him. We haven't even talked about him.
No, it's stupid to do so. I'm surprised he's only 10-5. I thought he would have been.
Yeah, he should be as 12. Much as Ronaldo. Like, he should be as much as Ronaldo and Zlatan and Lewandowski.
Yeah. I mean, he's even fucking playing. We like him so much, and he's playing reverse out of position.
Reverse out of position. It doesn't matter. Yeah, like, Götze started false nine, and he was playing like fucking winger in their last friendly. And Götze got an assist on an own goal, and Mueller scored. It was just like, there you go. That's what he fucking does. Like,
he's on pens probably for them, right?
Pen. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just so nice. It feels good to have him. Do you think Giroud's going to be on pens for France?
I was thinking about that the other day. I mean, like,
Who would take over that
Griezmann miss, like, has to be a factor, right?
It should be.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know. I don't think Paul takes them for Juventus. Does
no?
Well, he definitely didn't when Pirlo was there. But
he doesn't. I think I don't know who took.
Was it like Dybala or some shit?
Dybala? I don't know. I don't think it was Paul.
Yeah, I don't think it was either, because he only had like 7 goals a season, so it doesn't seem like you're on pens. But yeah, I mean, Giroud very might be on pens, but same with Paye if he's starting.
No, Paye doesn't even fucking can't take pens off Mark Noble, bro.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it might be fucking Giroud. I mean, I got a shout out to this site, FPL Bet, who I sent you this page. They did like a compilation of all the predicted lineups for the Euros. That's pretty good. It seems at least the most like up-to-date predictor that I've seen, where they combined like who scored, the UEFA predicted lineups and the Eurosport predicted lineups, and kind of did like a spreadsheet where they have every most likely lineup. And on that same site, they have set piece takers. And I just haven't seen it anywhere else, so it's basically like my only resource. But yeah, on there they have Griezmann and then Giroud as like the pedigree, which is, it's probably right, but
yeah, could be. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know like that much about the site, but it seems really good, so I'm gonna shout them out.
Okay, I think there's something about set piece takers on FFS too, like it's something, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, and there'll be more, I'm sure, as this week rounds up.
Yeah, we're getting closer. What else do you want to talk about?
What do you think about the like cheap striker? Like, another fucking friend on Twitter, FPL Jesus, tweeted like, "Who's the absolute cheapest striker worth considering?" Because I was shitting on someone's team with a cheap striker, and he said maybe Janko, and I was like, "I don't know, I don't like."
Isn't he 8?
Yeah, Janko's cheap. No, Janko's 7.5.
7.5, yeah.
But I don't know. Would you?
I mean, I think he's probably the one I would, if I'm going to go there, I would probably go with
like
him.
If you're going to structure with like a cheap punty third forward, probably Nolito.
If it would afford me like a really good 5 midfield or something, but past that, I think Arnautovic at 7 is probably, or maybe Vardy at 7.
Shane Long at 6.5.
Yeah,
but I just don't like the structures. I just don't like that structure. It's just end up.
Yeah, it's just I think the captaincy option from the third forward is better than having an extra like expensive midfielder captaincy option. So I don't think midfielders that are in the game right now are such great captaincy options. So
yeah, and Nolito's not even fucking nailed.
Yeah, no. But I mean, we did talk last one. I think there's like a lot of really good value in the 885. Like, I think even like Gomez is probably a good shout for Germany.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, Mandzukic, Morata, Kane.
I mean, even Lukaku, Giroud. Everyone's overlooking because he was such a fucking nightmare to the end of the EPL season. But
yeah,
he's been scoring in all these friendlies, and Belgium's really good.
Yeah, he could get service and be fine.
Yeah, he could be really good. And yeah, like you said, Mandzukic, and yeah. Yeah, I like Milik on Poland.
Yeah, yeah, he could be good. I mean, they have that North Ireland game first, which is nice.
He's been scoring, and he has a really good record. And yes, Lewandowski's there, but it's 4-4-2. It's not like he's not a striker, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, that's the other thing is, like, looking at all these values that you can find in the 8 million region from strikers, you could go with strikers from that region, then afford yourself like the Jordi Alba and the Cernas of the world, and just have like a ridiculous defense, and then hope that you know just get
and,
it together there.
And Neuer and De Gea,
yeah sure. Who knows?
That's totally doable, but it's just whether you believe that those guys are A, good captaincy options, and B, will match or exceed like Müller and Ibra and Ronaldo and etc.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like, is our clean sheet from Juanfran going to be not enough to match Alba? Like, it doesn't seem as likely. It doesn't seem balanced to me. Like, if Spain gets a clean sheet and Juanfran starts, I'm not scared of Alba owners.
No, of course not.
But, if it doesn't matter, like, if Mandzukic scores, I'm still terrified of Müller and Ibrahimovic and Lewandowski and Ronaldo, you know?
Yeah. Do you want to just do captains and cleans? I don't know. I feel like we talked so much about specific players last pod.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's not that much else to go on, I guess. Yeah, I think what we're going to do is just since you can move the captaincies and sub for cleans, I think we'll just go day by day and pick our captains and cleans, right?
Yeah.
So let's do that. So we'll pick our day-by-day captains cleans for the first week, which starts Friday, so soon.
Okay, so I mean, Friday is obviously one little game. But
France, we're captaining Giroud, but we love Griezmann.
Really? I mean, if Payet starts, I think that's a good captaincy too. Like anyone, really.
Pogba's really anyone. They're going to fucking do them, yeah.
Yeah, having a defender seems good, but one of the 5-5 guys we had in our team for a while is Stanciu on Romania. Mm-hmm. He plays in the hole for them. He's in really good form right now. I think he's scored in like 3 straight friendlies
or something like that. Yeah, he's been in really good form, yeah.
But yeah, only 5-5. We had him in instead of that Polish
Zielinski,
whatever. So I don't know. I like
him. Yeah, it's worth bringing up little sneaky gems, yeah.
But yeah, France is just, that's a free captaincy role, so hopefully that comes off for us, and then you don't have to think about it the rest of the week. That'd be great.
That'd be amazing.
Like 2 goals. Ugh,
oh,
so nice.
My God, yeah. Saturday, I mean, you gotta like a Swiss clean. I mean, what do you think? Wales Slovakia is probably like a 0-0, honestly.
Yeah, it seems like a 0-0 on paper, but I don't know. Wales let up 3 goals today.
Yeah, that's true. And then England Russia is like the opposite of a 0-0. That's
it could be like
2-2 or something.
Yeah, but Kane seems like the best captaincy on the day. Shaqiri's probably a really good captaincy if anyone's going to have him.
Yeah, Bale, if you have him.
Yeah, Bale's always going to be a good captaincy option. And then, I mean, we're going to probably put it on Hamsik that day and hope that he does some shit.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a Russian captain? Not really.
I don't know. I mean, Dzyuba or whatever.
Dzyuba, but yeah.
No one has him. He's
no
not
one really
enough.
Has him, yeah. He was so bad in the World Cup.
Yeah. Then the next day, Sunday, Croatia plays, but that's when Germany plays, so Müller is going to be for us. And then Lewandowski, I mean, if you have Lewandowski and Müller, you would probably captain Lewandowski that day, right?
Yeah, just because Northern Ireland are so much worse.
Yeah. Ukraine, though, they're not tight.
Yeah, I was reading about them. They had a good defensive record in qualifying and shit, but they're all, like, old as fucking slow. And, I mean, it's fucking Germany. Like, they're going to dominate.
Yeah, you'd I expect, like, a 3-0 or a 3-1 in that game or something like that.
Yeah, you're captaining your German player or Lewandowski pretty much.
Yeah, and then Turkey-Croatia is probably going to be the best game of the day.
That's such a good game.
I can't wait. I'm so happy that day is Sunday
a
and not
game,
a weekday.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Friday you're going to be at work.
Yeah, I'll be at work for sure.
You need to take a fucking Linolax, the sponsor of last episode. Fucking diarrhea out of work.
That would be awesome, but no, I'm definitely going to be at work. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
But yeah, I think that Sunday is going to be a fun day to watch games. All three of those games are great.
Yep.
Yeah, Monday.
What do you think about cleans that day, though?
I don't know.
I mean, sure. Poland and Germany are good shouts for cleans.
Poland, though, I feel like are just not.
Their defense is awful, but like Northern Ireland, I just don't.
Yeah, you can't imagine.
I don't know how much firepower they have. Yeah.
Croatia, Turkey is probably goals in that.
That's
game.
Really interesting. Yeah, Croatia, you'd expect to, I guess, dominate the ball, but Turkey's fucking good.
Turkey's good.
Yeah, they have good attackers.
They're both good. That game's going to be great. That's my number one game I want to watch all week.
Yeah, I haven't picked mine yet, but so far that's leading the pack.
It's that probably. And Belgium, Italy is going to be good too, probably.
Well, and France is going to be just amazing because home France is just going to be like so insane.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch, but I don't think, I mean, it's not going to be like a good game. It's going to be a fucking rape fest.
Monday, let's see. I mean, you like a Spain clean. Ireland, Sweden, there's goals there. Belgium, Italy could easily be a 0-0 or something weird.
Yeah, this is the toughest. Like, this is part of the reason why we wanted Zlatan.
This is Zlatan's like the only captaincy.
Yeah, and like I just with Spain, you could get Morata, but I just don't feel any confidence that he's going to do like that well that you would want a captaincy on him.
I really like Morata, like we said last week, but it's just is he going to score a brace?
Probably not.
Even though Czech
Republic is pretty bad.
I mean, but. Czech Republic had the worst defensive record of every team that qualified. So, like, maybe really? Spain just wins 5-0. Like, honestly, that's a shout, but it'll be interesting to see. But Belgium, Italy is the pick of the day. That'll be an interesting game.
That game will be good. I'll miss that whole day, so that's fun.
But yeah, you don't really like any Belgium captain. You don't like an Italian captain. Spain, it's kind of sketchy. It's really just Zlatan.
Yeah, I mean, I think Spain. I mean, people who have KDB are going to captain him, but that's going to be really sad because I can't. I mean, Italy's—they're not going to ever give up. Like, you know,
two or more.
Yeah, no, doesn't yeah, they don't really that. Do that.
Yeah, the over-under for that game is probably going to be like 1.5.
Yeah, or 2 even.
Yeah, 2 is as low as soccer goes, pretty much. Actually, you know what? Speaking of like Calvin Chan, that. Fucking interview that I did with.
I didn't know we were talking about it.
Well, no, we weren't. I'm thinking about him. I'm like talking to myself. Just bringing up the gambling odds because if people didn't see, like I did an interview with Calvin Chan who won the FMLFPL league and he gave out like just some of his tips and stuff like that. One of the things he said was he does look at gambling odds and you know what? I should look at the gambling odds before the first week for like. Just those, a slight bit of other knowledge coming from a completely different source, you know, not related to fantasy at all. Be interesting to see, like, the over-unders in these kind of games.
It's always a good indicator, because
for experts. Cleans and for Toddfests, Titfucks.
Yeah. 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 And then last day is, Cleans we did.
Yeah, we did
whatever. Cleans. And then last day, I guess, is just, like, Ronaldo. That's the thing, if you have Ronaldo, you could... freewheel and deal your captaincy around and not feel too bad if you know that you have him in the last day.
Ronaldo versus Iceland, yeah. Although listening to Men in Blazers got me excited about Iceland. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, it would be nice to see them do well, but I don't know.
Yeah, no. What about, I mean, Austria? Yeah, I mean
Janko.
Yeah, you could, right? I mean...
Well, that's going to be the... This is the tough thing, is if you don't have Ronaldo. For us, for example, like we only have Janusovic or whatever, the Austrian mid.
Yeah.
If Zlatan gets like an assist, are we going to switch captains here or are we going to stick with that? Like that's going to be a tough thing. If we end up going all the way to Zlatan, if no one hits for us the first 3 days.
Yeah, right.
If you don't have Ronaldo and you have one of your, like, or Alaba, some people that'll have Alaba. Like, if you have, like, a mid-level Austrian attacker, are you going to switch captaincy onto them if you have someone who's gotten, like, 6 points?
That's going to be a tough call to make. And we'll probably end up potting before that day even happens, so we won't be able to cover it because there's no days in between any of the weeks. So we're going to be ending up potting midweek every week. So there's going to be like no time to listen to the pod. It's going to be fucked up.
Yeah, that is going to be a little bit annoying. I guess we should pod on Monday.
Or should we just pod for like 15 minutes every day?
No fucking way.
I might solo Panic Room Pod for like 10 minutes every day.
That would be fine with me, but I can't get in there with that.
I know. It's just going to be so shitty. It always sucks to do a midweek pod because we're podding without all of the knowledge.
Yeah, and we're out of sorts too because our heads are in a few different places.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll probably pod like Sunday night, I guess. So there's only 2 days that we're missing, and most of the games are played.
We should pod on Monday.
But then that gives only like 1 day of listening before next week when you're making your transfers.
Yeah, but like...
I guess fuck it. Yeah, listen on Tuesday. Like, that's your job. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, we'll probably pod on Monday then. Wow, it's so soon, dude. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. I hope this week goes by fast.
Yeah, it's got to go by fast.
It's going to be so nice to wake up again and have some purpose to life on the weekends.
Yeah, on Saturday, Sunday, set my alarm, get going, get al dente.
Yeah, I've been just like sleeping till like 9 on the weekends, and it just doesn't even make sense. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I mean, are you going to wake up for the 6 a.m. games? Or when? What time are those games? Yeah, 6 a.m., right?
I have no idea. Let me check.
Yeah, 6 a.m., the Saturday and Sunday games, because they're 9 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah, that's what it says on my website that I'm in front of.
Yeah, I mean, 6 is nothing.
You got to wake up at 6, right?
Yeah, Switzerland. I mean, Turkey, Croatia on Sunday, I'm for sure. Maybe I'll miss some of the Switzerland-Albania game because that's just like a little bit sad.
Yeah, if we had a Swiss attacker, you wouldn't miss it, but...
Well, we do. We have Shar.
Oh, goal threat, little tit threat.
Ugh, Lauren's going to be so pissed at me all weekend because I'm going to just watch soccer until like 2 o'clock.
I mean, I'm sorry, Lauren. It's a big tournament. God. What?
I think I have something to do on Saturday.
What do you mean? Day.
Like
what do you
activity.
Have?
I think like her son or her sister's kid's birthday or something.
Who cares?
I certainly don't, but she does.
Fuck, dude. Does the kid like soccer? Maybe you can steal the kid and watch Euros with him.
He's like 4. It's a joke.
Dude, you're going to go... He's 4. You're going to go to the house, say happy birthday, and then go inside and watch soccer.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, now. Germany, Ukraine, I'm not missing that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. God, I hate when life gets in the way of soccer.
Yeah, it's tough. You should quit your job like I did. That's it, right?
I guess. I feel like incomplete. I feel like we went too nuts last week talking about players. It just would be redundant because it's the same names.
It's the same names. I mean, I guess I can shout out some budget defenders that we were looking into, but in the end, we made the decision that budget defenders are a bad idea. So, like, it's not... It doesn't reflect the pod's feelings to go into like budget defenders.
Yeah.
But it feels incomplete, but we're here all week answering questions. Like people are tweeting at me constantly to rate my teams, and people should also be emailing fmlfpl@gmail.com for like, because you send back like long shit. Like Twitter, I write back 120 characters. Like if you email, Walsh sends back like paragraphs of shit.
That's a true story. But yeah, we got some emails last week from after the pod. It was good.
Yeah, we'll get some shit going and like we're around. So yeah, check us out, fmlfpl.com. Follow on Twitter at I'm going to start over. I'm going to X that part. Check us out at fmlfpl.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlfpl. Email us. I already told you that. Join our league. You got to join the league. Like on Facebook, rate on iTunes, all that shit. Cheers.
Bye, guys.